just did get that in according to that clock up there. I'm just glad to be able to stand and speak God's word.
All right.
And if you do not get as much from this as I did this week, that's all right. And if I don't get as much from it as you're going to get today, that's all right. God feeds us what we need, and I have been fed with this week. Three conditions of prayer.
All right.
Matthew 5:13a says, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt has a tendency to give food flavor.
Yes, it does.
Food that in itself is unappetizing become tasteful and acceptable when seasoned with salt.
Oh, yes.
In Job chapter 6, verse 6, it says, this is put in the form of a rhetorical question. And it goes something like this. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?
Come on.
I guess what I'm trying to get across to you is that prayer is important in our walk with God. And sometimes I think, and I'm not that smart, that's one of the things that's wrong with a lot of our Christian lives is our prayer life. Brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you that if the only time Dwight Baggett prays is on Sunday morning when I pray in public, my prayer life is lacking, L-A-C-K. And if you only pray when you pray in public, your prayer life is lacking.
Oh, yeah.
You need to pray.
All right.
Without ceasing. I think that's 1st or 2nd Thessalonians 5:17. You got to pray. And prayer is just, and I say just, but it's not a light just, it's a heavy just, talking with God.
All right.
You need to have that prayer time with God.
Well.
It is the presence of salt that makes the difference, causing us to enjoy the food that we would have otherwise have refused to eat. And I just thought about something. Born and reared in the country, I never had eaten squash.
All right.
18, 19 years old, went to a little place called Jackson, Tennessee, and had been at football practice and was going 2 a day. And I come in there one day for dinner and they had squash.
Well,
I was so hungry. I said, I don't eat squash. I said, but I got to eat something. And this was in 1950, so I didn't have a whole lot of money. And that was my food. They were going to feed me and educate me, so I had to eat. And I ate those squash. I took them, since I hadn't had them before, I knew what they were. Well, mother had cooked them before at the house, but I didn't eat them at the house. I put some black pepper and put some salt on. And now, when every chance I get, I eat squash.
All right.
Don't have to put no salt, extra salt. I just eat them.
All right.
Because I remember They were awful good. That's right. Brother Crumb smacking his lips. He loved to eat more than I do. But when you season it, not just like I used to do. I used to just take salt and sprinkle it on it. That ain't seasoning. That's what some of us do with prayer. We just sprinkle it all around. We don't season it. When you season your life with prayer, prayer goes all the way through your life. It's not just on the surface. That's why sometimes, give me, say, marinate. You can take, and I'm gonna preach. You can take freshwater fish.
All right.
Get you some ice. Put it on there. Put a little white horse vinegar in them. In the water with the ice. And sprinkle a little salt on. It'll do two things. It'll take the wild taste out of it. And the salt will season the fish. And you won't have to put any salt on the fish. Why is he telling us that if he gonna preach on prayer? That's the way your life is. Your life need to be just seasoned with prayer. Meaning that you stay in it. And don't have them in a cooler with ice in them and pack it down and let it stay in there about a couple of days. Yeah, you can freeze it right there. See, I'm helping somebody right here, and you don't know I'm helping you. If you just put that salt in there and put it on, it'll season it and it'll freeze it. Then you won't have to put it up before you cook it. Then all you got to do is just take it out and let it drip dry, and then just put a little meal on it and drop it in that grease about 350 degrees. And it's good. And it's seasoned. Because you allow the salt time to go through it. That's why. I know for some reason I'm telling y'all this. That's why when you pray to God, you don't need to be in a hurry. You need to just take your time and sit down and talk with him just a little while. That's when you get seasoned with your prayers. Don't be in a hurry. Have some time to spend with God.
All right.
Just stay there and talk with him just a little while. As Christians, our function is to give flavor to the earth.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
The one who enjoys this flavor is God.
All right.
Our presence command the earth, commends the earth to God's mercy. Without us, there would be nothing to make the earth acceptable to God. But because we are here, God continues to deal with the earth in his grace and in his mercy rather than his wrath and judgment. It is our presence that makes the difference, because we talk to our Father. Our presence on the earth as Christ's disciples operates like the salt in the meat. The process of sin's corruption is already at work. This is manifested in every area of human activity. Our moral lives, our religious life, our social lives, and don't dare to mention our political lives. We cannot abolish the corruption that is already here, but we can hold it in check. I'm glad you asked. By continuing to pray, we can, because we want God's presence, his grace, and his mercy to be fully worked out. When we continue to pray and we keep praying and we keep praying, and it seems as if you are not doing any good,
come on now.
Keep right on praying.
Amen.
When it seems like you are about to lose, when your opposition is the greatest, you are that much closer to the victory. Because the devil wants you to stop anyway. That person that you've been praying for, that they just don't seem like they're going to come, don't quit. Because you are close to the victory. When you're about to win, it doesn't seem like you're about to win. Because we see success in winning for somebody else. We do not see it for ourselves. Just got 3 points. And some of you that's here with me all the time, you'll be happy to know my 3 points is just on 2 pages. And one of those pages is my conclusion.
All right.
The first condition of prayer is faith in God.
All right.
Faith in God. I have said this before, that telling you about how you have faith because you will walk in here and you won't check out these chairs before you drop in one of them. That is faith. But it's faith in the chair. I'm marinating you on that one. So when we pray, we ought to have faith in the God that we are praying to. I stop by to tell you, don't have faith in your prayer. Have faith in the God that you are praying to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have faith in the God that you are praying to, how can you walk around and talk about you expect him to? Faith is belief in. Knowing that it's going to come to pass. Knowing that God is going to answer my prayer. Because I am believing in him, not in the person that's praying, not in what I'm believing in God.
All right.
Faith needs an object, and an object is what you put the faith in. And God needs to be the object of your faith. Not your own intelligence, not anything about yourself. The object of your faith need to be in God.
All right.
In God, not what grandmama and them said, but in the God that grandmama and them was talking about. That's where our faith need to be, in God. Then there's a reason or a purpose that for our faith. The purpose of our faith needs to be to remove the mountain out of the way.
Come on, man. Yes, sir.
You should not just talk to God just to be talking to him. I know you are up close and personal with him, but you need to have a purpose and a reason why you want to talk to him. And that is where our faith come in. Our faith, because we believe in him, will give us a purpose and a reason why we need to talk to him. In this sinful, sin-sick world, we should always have a purpose and a reason for talking to God. And it doesn't mean that something have to be wrong with me and mine. Something can be wrong way over yonder somewhere. And I still need to pray.
Oh, yeah.
Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't pray for other people because we are selfish.
All right.
Within ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And therefore we try to make God just like me.
All right,
and I stop by to tell you, you cannot bring a holy God to your level. Although we constantly tried, but you cannot bring him to your level. He will always be high above you.
All right.
So the purpose is to remove the mountain It might not be a mountain that somebody else can see. But you know it's a mountain, it's something there that's keeping you from seeing or getting to where you need to be.
All right.
And sometimes, a lot of the times, it's nobody but. I am my biggest mountain to climb. I am my biggest mountain to be moved out of the way so I can serve this true and living God. Some of us have mountains in the way that keep us from serving God. Whatever God has put in you, if you're not doing it, there's a mountain that's stopping you from doing whatever it is that God has put in you to do for Him, not for yourself. So many times we want to do things for ourselves. And we want the glory for what? No. God needs to receive the glory for what's done, for the gift that He has placed in you.
Come on now.
The purpose to remove the mountain. Then the way to we need to process our faith is in prayer. And when you pray,
all right, now.
Don't pray doubting that God can do what He said He can do, He'll do.
All right.
I'm not talking about doubting from your lips. Your lips can speak that you believe it, but in your heart. Your heart have to be right with God. Your heart have to know that God's going to do just what He said. And we have to pray and talk to God and ask Him to get us in a frame of mind to accept. Mm-hmm. Accept His will.
Oh, yeah.
So many times our will is not the will of. Your will needs to line up with God's will, because His will is not going to change. Help us, God, to get to a place where we will accept your will and your way. And when we get in that position in our spiritual walk, stuff will come your way. The rest of us will look at you and wonder how you get along like you do with all you're going through. But because you have in your spiritual walk, you are in a position with God that everything, it's going to be all right. Everything will work out to the good. And then you have to believe in the authority of God. Not in your own authority. Believe in the authority of God. That God has the authority to do just what He knows that I need to do. I need to happen. I might not like it. Might not think it's right, but God, I'm trusting in You because You are the ultimate authority. You have to get to that place. And when you get to that place, God will be there for you. I'm glad you asked. The result of all of that is that you have faith in the God that you are talking about. You have to know that you have the faith in God. Abraham believed God. He believed God about being a promising him that he would be the father of many nations. And the circumstances that he was in, it didn't look like it was going to happen. But he believed God and he trusted in God. And God gave him a picture of what it was going to look like. He told him, say, Abraham, go outside your door.
All right, now.
Walk outside your door. Say, if you don't believe me, look up towards the heaven.
Yeah.
Say, when you look up towards heaven, say, Abraham, I want you to count the stars.
All right, now.
Said, if you can count the stars, you'll know the number of the people that I'm going to give you that's going to be yours. He said, Abraham, if that's not enough to you, said, walk down by the seashore.
Yeah.
Look at the grains of sand that's on the ground. Abraham said, I'm going to give them to you. He said, that's what it's going to be like. See, that's how you have to know. Abraham had to come away from there with faith in God, not in himself or where he was. Some of us look at where we are now and think that's all God got for us. Look at what happened to Abraham. Had only no children, but he believed God and he trusted in God. His faith was in God. Your faith needs to be in God, not in yourself. Point number two, condition number two is expectancy. You need to expect God to do exactly what he said. If you don't expect him to do it, don't ask him, because God is a faithful God. Everybody else in the world may have lied to you at some time or other in your life, but God never have and never will. He's like the says 7-Up used to be. They used to say 7-Up never had it and never will. They were talking about caffeine, but now I don't know. Some of them may have caffeine, but God will never change. His word is true, and you can expect God to do just what he said. We do not need to allow our expectancy to be based upon our emotions. So many of us want to feel good. We want something to tickle our fancy. We want it to make me think I'm somebody. Every time God get ready to do something for me, I feel lower than dirt. But he does it anyhow, because it's not an emotional thing. If you can only believe in God when you get emotional, you don't believe in God. You don't have faith in the God. You are expecting somebody to make you feel good. If the same song make you feel good all the time, you need to check yourself, because the song might not be sung when you need it. We got certain things with our emotion. No, it's all right to be emotional, but God is not a God of feelings. Well, let me ask you a question. Y'all are excellent Bible scholars. Y'all know more about this than I do. You think he was sitting up in heaven? He probably was. But in our vernacular, he wouldn't have been happy when Jesus was being crucified. Now, you just think about it. The little stuff that you know happened to your children. When the principal have to call you, or the police have to call you. You don't be shouting, yeah, I'm glad. If you did, we'd take you to we can't take you to Chattahoochee anymore, because they done closed that one. We have to find somewhere else to take you. But my point is that when trouble comes, the emotion is not, you don't feel good. But it's a good thing that's happening. When your emotions, you have a desire. You have a yearning. You expect God to do just what he said he would do. And when you expect him, you live every day knowing that that's going to happen because God said.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you see a lot of God said. And when God said, it happened. It said one particular place I remember, it said there was nothing for his spirit to move upon, and God moved down at the waters. And his spirit moved upon the face of the water. See, when God says something, something got to happen. When everything that God had for us was right there, but nothing happened until he said.
All right.
So that's why we need to be expecting God to do just what he said. His word is true. Somewhere in there says, let every man be a lie. And his word be true. We have to understand that we have to expect God to do what he said. And then I know that he knows everything, but you still got to ask him.
All right.
You got to ask him. God, you know my heart. Okay. He know your heart. What's in your heart? Ask him. Ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask, you have to ask. No matter how great you think it is, it's not great to God. They tell a story about this man was arguing with himself about he wanted to build a house, and it was about 2 or 3 acres of land, and he was going to put a house right in the middle of it. And he was talking to God about it. God, should I build this house on all this land so people going to think I'm funny? So that's kind of big. They heard God say, from where I stand, it ain't that big. So see, what we think is big to God, a God that can speak to the universe and it come. Hang the 9 planets out in there. And the sun, the moon, all of that, God did it. What's that song? God did it? Yeah. What he did it, and we won't ask him for a little bitty stuff. You better wake up and ask him. And then when you ask him, you need to expect him to do it. Don't think you can't do it. Don't have doubt. And then you have to get in the spirit of believing God. And you have to get to know him up close and personal. You can't get to a place where you think there's something about that he doesn't know about you, or that you don't know about him. What you don't know about him,
all right,
is right here.
Uh-huh.
And he knows everything about you. I keep saying this, and it keeps coming up. God knows your beginning to your end. And he sees it all,
uh-huh,
at the same time.
Right.
There is no tomorrow for God.
All right.
Everything is now. Now. N-O-W. You can't spell many, but I can spell that one. Now is the time that God sees everything about you. The trouble that you're in now, yeah, God see you out of it. The sickness that you have now, God see you well. Whatever the situation is, God sees you well. What we need to do is get ourselves in position to accept his will. If we accept his will, everything will be all right. His will may be that I'm on my bed of affliction that I can't walk. If it's his will, there's something he has for me to do while I'm like that, then I need to do that. You got to know. If you accept his will, everything will be all right. And the way we can know our expectations of him will come true, if we live for him. You cannot be over here today, over here tomorrow, over here tomorrow, over here. No, you have to, everywhere you go, you have to be with God. You have to walk with him.
All right.
And I like that word, walk with him, because that means I got time to talk to him.
All right.
I got time to listen to him. You see very few people jogging and talking. If you're gonna talk, you better walk. If you want somebody to listen to you, walk and talk. Don't run and talk. Runners don't have time to talk. But when you're with Jesus, you need to learn to walk with him in your daily life. When you walk with him, he'll talk with you and he'll let you know what you need to do. That's when we expect, and he expects us to do something. He expects us as believers to teach his word.
All right.
I'm glad you asked. But you said, Baggett, I can't stand up there in front of him and talk. No, you sure can't, but you can live. Your life is a good teacher. That's why some of us don't want anybody watching us. Because we're not doing what we think, what we want everybody to think we're doing.
Come on, preacher.
You ought to be living the life that you talk about. Live the life. And then when you live that life, you are teaching God's word. And you need to teach his word. And if I expect God to do what he said he would do,
uh-huh,
I need to take this and do it. I think it was Jeremiah. He told him, said, eat it. eat this word and it'll taste sweet in your mouth. But when it get to your stomach, it'll be bitter. That means it's good to you. Once it get in the stomach, it's got to come out. It got to come out. And when it comes out, it's going to be what God would have it to be. But you have to get this word down on the inside of you. It can't be a surface thing. It can't be just where you come to church. You got to live this thing. And if you are for real, the church will leave the physical church. You will take the church away from here in you. That's where the church is. The church is in each one of us, and we need to take it out of here. Point number three. Point number three. In order. The last condition that I have here today of prayer is forgiveness. Is forgiveness.
All right.
I want it when it's coming from you to me. I want it. I want it bad.
All right.
If there's anything, I want it real, real, real bad. I want you to forgive me. So in order for me to receive forgiveness, you have to give it. You have to give forgiveness. You have to give it. God, I do believe God, the way I see God with me. I see God saying, Baggett, just ask me to forgive you.
All right.
And mean it from your heart.
All right.
And if you ask me, it's a done deal. I do want God to forgive me before I finish asking him. I want that from him. So how should I be towards you? Before you ask me, I should be willing to forgive you. If you don't ask me, I'm not gonna hold it against you. I will forgive you. But with God, you need to ask for forgiveness. And it's a whole lot better between you and me if I ask you to forgive me. And don't just know because you are a believer that you are supposed to forgive me.
Come on.
I might forget it. I might not think it's important. And some of the things that other people have against you, you don't think it's important. But to them it is. So if they ask you and you don't remember, what are you going to... Okay, it's all right. I'll forgive you. God will not hold any grudges against you.
All right.
So if God doesn't hold a grudge against you, you should not hold a grudge against anybody else. I tell this, and I hadn't planned on saying it, but I'll say it now. In the yesterdays of my life, there were two people I just utterly hated. Named Governor George Wallace and Governor Lester Maddox. I hated both of them. Didn't know them personally, but I hated. And really, it wasn't them. It was what they were doing. And I came to a realization one time when Governor Wallace was not going to run for election of office. And I saw a black lady from Dothan stand up on national television crying. Because her governor was not going to run for governor of the state of Alabama. And I'm standing up there saying, she is stone crazy. She ain't got no sense at all crying because he won't run for governor. That lady was at a place where I needed to be. And today, I thank that lady, and I don't know her from Adam's house cat, but I thank her for showing me myself. I had no reason to dislike those two people because of what they did. What I should have disliked was just what they were doing, not them. If I was at my house and they came on the television, I moved it. And then I didn't have a remote. I had to get up and turn it. I'm telling the truth. I wouldn't do it because I hated them.
And it wasn't them, it was what they did. And she showed me. She had arrived at a place where she loved people. I had not arrived at that place. And if you are not at that place now, you need to get there. You don't need to just dislike or hate people but just because they did or said something. That's not reason enough. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me.
All right.
I was a sinner. He loved me enough and he still died for me. Knowing I was a sinner, knowing I was his enemy, he died for me. So we have to get in a spirit of forgiveness. I need to forgive you as quick as I want God to forgive me.
All right.
And I'm praying and God's keep dealing with me. I'm getting there. I am getting there because God is yet working with me. And if you think you have arrived, you're fooling yourself. None of us have arrived because we still are eyeballing one another. So therefore, we need to work on, practice on forgiving people for things that they have done and don't hold stuff. That's why some people don't go to family reunions because somebody there done made them mad. This one here, this here might mess with you. God's forgiveness is conditional. It's conditional, meaning you have to meet a requirement for it to happen to you. You have to meet a requirement for it to happen to you. You cannot get forgiveness if you do not give it yourself. That's the condition. That's the condition. You have to forgive others in order to receive God's forgiveness. You have to receive that. And when you get to the place where you don't mind forgiving people, you're taking a step closer to God. Might not seem like it, might irk you to no end, but let it happen. Forgive other people. You have to forgive them so God can forgive you. That saying that other people have your key to the kingdom. If you're going to receive God's forgiveness, you got to give forgiveness to somebody else. And I can tell you why. The unforgiveness that you are holding against somebody else, God's forgiveness can't come in you because that's in the place where it should be. The unforgiveness has to leave out of your heart and the forgiveness will come in. God's forgiveness will come in. When you take the unforgiveness you have towards someone else and give it to them, then God's forgiveness can come in your heart. That's why hatred can't come in some people's heart, because love and hate can't abide in the same place. When the hate go out, the love will come in. And your sin, if you don't learn to hate your sin, if your sin is still your friend, you glorify what you used to do? No. You need to hate it. Hate mean you can't stand it. You don't want to be around it. But then when the hate leaves, love comes in. And that's salt. That's salt. And in my conclusion, the restraining power which at present hold back the full and final emergence of the Antichrist is the personal presence of the Holy Spirit within the church. And you do understand what I said earlier, that you are the church, not this physical building. This become clear as we follow the unfolding revelation of Scripture concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit. When we follow the working of the Holy Spirit from the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit moved. He did not stay in one. He moved. in the Old Testament, when God would get ready for one of the prophets or to do something, the Holy Spirit would come up on him. And then he would do what God had for him to do, and then it would lead. But when Jesus came, he said, I will come and I will tabernacle with you. Say, if you allow me, my Father, and I will come and dwell within you. The Holy Spirit indwells each one of us. He comes and he abides in us and lives within us. So when we allow this Spirit to come within us and we are constantly in prayer with God, prayer is our communication link with heaven. You can talk to heaven and you don't need Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, or none of them. And you won't get a bill. All you do is get the blessings of God. When you pray and you talk to God, you give him your heart and your life. And when you do that, you'll stay within the realm of what God would have you to do. Prayer will change people. And most of all, it will change the person that prays. It will change the person that prays before it changes anything else. Prayer is our link to heaven. You can talk to heaven and be right where you are right now. But you need to get to know him up close and personal. And when you know him up close and personal, you can talk with him. And you can tell him things that you cannot tell anybody else. And the one thing that I probably won't never understand this because I'm not that smart. Why I need to tell him and he already knows. Verification. So you will know that he knows what you know and more too. God needs and wants for us to pray to him. God have things for you that you have not asked for. And when you decide to ask him for them, mm-hmm. in faith and believing, mm-hmm. you shall receive it.
All right.
But you got to believe that you shall receive it.
All right.
If you don't believe it,
uh-huh.
if you don't believe it, don't ask him.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the place where you know this word. And there are a whole lot of promises in this word. And with me, I have not found one that I ask him for that he have not provided. But most of all, brothers and sisters, pray expecting God to do what he said. And have faith in the God that you're praying to. Don't have faith in your prayers. Have faith in the God that you are praying to. And expect the God that you are praying to answer your prayer. And be willing to forgive others so you can be forgiven yourself.
All right.
Will you stand? If you don't know, if you don't know Jesus for yourself, if you have not asked him into your life, this is your time. This is your time to come to Jesus just as you are. Don't try to wait to fix things up until things get better. Because you won't ever get it well enough for you to come to Christ. You have to come just as you are, weary, wounded, and sad. And he'll take you just like you are. He will in no wise turn you away, but you got to come. You have to leave from where you are to come to Christ.
Your blessing.
And a lot of us are a lot closer than we think. But you just need to step out in faith, believing that God can do what he said he can do. Will you come?
Yes, I'm too.